Hello, Chichillers here. We interrupt the daily grind of the mundane and hyperbolous banter to bring you this extraordinary and astonishing broadcast.
It is time to cast off words, darkness.
Yes, it is. Once again, it's time for... It is time. We're getting dressed in the whole armor of God, and we are taking up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and we're quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and we're gaining ground on our horse, galloping on a white horse with a white hat, with a good gospel of peace, reaching down and trying to pull up those who may have fallen off their horse and get on the horse again and start galloping for heaven. Because we have a message to share in these days and this hour. And we're on the right side of time because we're redeeming it. And thanks be to God, you're here to join with us. It wouldn't be the same without you. And we're just so happy that you're here to share the wonderful things of heaven with us. Hey, we have another program all lined up for you, another show. And we're going to continue on our theme of the love of God. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God with all we have. You know, I was talking to a person after service and recently, and they came to me with that scripture, and we shared it on our last broadcast. But it's that scripture where, you know, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, we got to thinking about that, and it just hit me in a fresh way that we are in such a place to be able to make a decision for heaven. And it's in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And that is a powerful truth. Loving God with everything you've got. That is so powerful. And somebody said, well, I'm not there yet. Well, guess what? You can be there. If you'll spend the next hour with us, I promise you something from heaven will catch a hold of your heart, and you'll begin to walk in an area maybe that you hadn't known before, because that's the way it works. And this gentleman had struggled for some things for a while, and for a couple of years, and until this scripture got into his heart. And the key is to stick with it. The devil will beat you on the head and say, you failed, you failed, you failed. And you just get up again and get that scripture and just feed on it and feed on it and feed on it. And pretty soon, something begins to take hold. And you start loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is Lincoln Brewster. Love the Lord. Come on, catch a hold of it. Here we go.
So with all your mind and with all your strength, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength, with all your heart. With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
That's Lincoln Brewster. Love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. You know, when you know you're in that position where you're starting to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Somebody said, how can you do that? How can you be so sure that you're loving God? Well, you know, there's a very beautiful word called obedience. And obedience is the only way to measure love. You know, that's why the Bible said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. This is right. And somebody said, well, gosh, loving your parents is the right way. Yeah, of course it is. If you're a parent, you know that for certain. But he said, you know, two things are going to happen if you do that. You'll live long on the earth and it'll be well with you. So obedience comes with a very high price of blessing. And that's amazing. But, you know, that obey is a love word. And obey means to be hooked up with a vision. You know, obey also implies a chain of command. There's always a chain of command, and particularly Americans, we don't like that. You know, we like to be free agents, and we like to be independent. And, hey, we respect that, and we honor a person's individuality, and we love that. And I think that's what makes the body of Christ so great, is we have so much wonderful things that gets added to the body of Christ. But when it comes to a chain of command, when you're at work, there's a boss there. When you're at home, there's a mother and father there. When you're, hey, come on, it works everywhere. Somebody said, well, you know, that's you know, they used to use the word up. You're just so uptight. Well, let me come over to your house and put my muddy feet up on your coffee table and bring a horse with me and sit down next to me. And, you know, no, you have rules in your house. Well, God's got rules in his house. But all those rules are chains of command to keep the power flowing. That's exactly true. To make sure that everybody gets fed, everybody gets lit up. Everybody. I thought about this one time, that the chain of command is like light poles in a city. And, you know, you have a power box, and then you got power that goes out to lampposts and that goes to homes and it lights up the city. But if you don't have that organized and running right, you can have power outages, and somebody's got electricity and somebody doesn't. But man, when everything's lit up properly, everybody's got everything flowing and going, and you can enjoy life. And that's the way God ordained it to be. And when we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're not going to be strung out on drugs. We're not going to be full of anger and bitterness and wrath, and the relationships in our life will be going right. And God just wants to bless us and take good care of us. And that's why he wants us to love him. Somebody said, I want to do that, but I don't feel that. Well, that comes with an invitation. When you open the door of your heart to God, he comes in. When you invite God in, he comes in. So that's what we want to do in this show, in this program, is invite the Lord in and open our heart and realize that there's something so incredibly wonderful about the power of his love. So if that's something new to you, and maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and maybe you don't feel the power of his love, it doesn't come through a feeling. It comes through a decision. So this is a great song. This is Hillsong, and the power, it's an older one, but it's a great one. And it's called The Power of Your Love. And I just believe this is a great song. If you need to make a decision, Lord, I'm going to walk in such a way where I'm going to love you the rest of my life with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, all of my strength, with everything I've got. This is a good place to jump on board with. This is the song called The Power of Your Love. Just lift up your heart to God. Let him fill it.
Let my heart be changed. Flowing from the grace that I found in you,
Lord, I found it in you, oh.
And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see.
Power of your love. That's God's love. You can invite that into your life right now. Let's do that. Lord, we invite the power of your love into our lives right now. We thank you that we don't have to wait till the end of the broadcast. We don't have to wait for something bad to happen. We can love the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we invite that love into our heart, into our life. We thank you that we don't have to live under the burden of our own love. And we don't have to live under the frailty of human love, which is, gets hurt and gets offended and gets whacked out of shape and is up one day and down the next. No, we fall into the arms of the living God, where the love of God never changes. It's never up and down. Love is gentle, kind, patient. Love never fails, never runs out, never comes to an end because it's God's love. He loved us while we were yet sinners. In our worst case scenario, God loved us and he still loves us today. He will never withdraw his love. He will never do it. And that's the agape of heaven that we invite into our life. Something A.W. Tozer wrote, he said, he writes in his book called That Incredible Christian, a century ago, a hymn was often sung in the churches, the first stanza of which ran like this: 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or not? Am I his or am I not? Am I his or am I not? Somebody said, well, how do you know? You can gauge that. And he goes on to talk about obedience being, he talks about the fact that, oh, our Lord told his disciples that love and obedience were organically united, that the keeping of his sayings would prove that we loved him, and the failure or refusal to keep them would prove that we did not. This is the true test of love, and we will be wise to face up to it. So what he's suggesting is that we don't just automatically say, of course I love God with every fiber of my being. And that's what this man was telling me when he got set free by the power of God's love, was that he loved God, but he was not obeying God. And he kept falling and falling and falling and falling and falling and falling. And I say that word falling many times, but I'm not picking on him. But one of the things we can either do, we can either be worn down by sin or we can wear sin out. Listen to me closely. You can either be worn down by sin or you can wear sin out. How do you wear sin out? By continually going to God. I like something one preacher said. He said, your sin is none of the devil's business. And I'm not saying that we should be comfortable in our sin, but we should run to the Lord. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. You know, I've been saying this last few broadcasts that it's sort of a made up thing, obviously, but there's a chain called Party City. And in my mind, I can see just the devil opening pity party cities. And he loves pity parties. And the devil would love to just start a chain of pity party cities in every city of the world to take a person and just nail us and just fill that store with all kinds of party favors. Because, you know, when you get in a pity party, you get down there and the devil will come and he'll get you in that easy chair and get you to watch, you know, 75 hours of TV and eat the dumbest foods in the world. Why? Because you're just wallowing in self-pity. And he'll bring all the party favors and keep the party going and make sure four friends call you and tell you how ugly you are. Because why? He wants to put a pity party city in every single city next to every church. And we have started a committee to just run out the pity party cities in our town. That's what we're going to do. Give a listen.
This is a public service announcement of Citizens Against Pity Party, Party City.
Something must be done. This has to be stopped.
Pity parties are threatening our cities. Mr. D. Satan must be stopped.
There's only one solution.
The blood of Jesus overcomes self-pity. We saw the expansion of Pity Party City by Mr. D. Satan as a threat to the welfare of our people. And we're taking action, fighting against plans for more pity party cities.
Well, if they think they can just skate into our town and triple nuts over our people and the fine outlook on our future because of the blood of Jesus, then I say Pity Party City has truly underestimated the weapons of our warfare.
We view the bold attempts of Pity Party City's expansion as an out-and-out effort to steal the hope and the vision away from each citizen.
As mayor of this city, we're taking action. We're arming each citizen with the promises of God. We're taking the It Is Time broadcast and sharing it with everyone. We're spreading the news of Team Edify and enlisting our townspeople to rise up and edify one another. We will run Mr. D. Satan out of our town and forbid the expansion of these pity party cities. We will be edified by God and not taken over by self-pity.
Yes, you too can take a stand against the expansion of pity party cities in your town. Let's edify one another and be pity free.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by It Is Time podcast and the good people at Team Edify.
Our sponsor this half hour is 2Core 10:4. Has your mind been plagued and bombarded with the high traffic of vain imaginations? Have the thoughts and accusations from the Father of Lies been jamming and congesting the freeways of your mind? Do human reasonings and haughty intellectual arrogance overcrowd and clog the corridors and throughways of your thinking? Then it's time you try 2Core 10:4. 2Core 10:4 was first introduced by the Apostle Paul around 56 AD. 2Core 10:4 carries the anointing of God and has been overpowering mental congestion for centuries. Known by its full name, 2 Corinthians 10:4, this passage of Spirit and Life has been eliminating stress and anxiety through its authoritative casting down power. Yes, the thoughts are cast down when the believer addresses them so in the mighty name of Jesus. When this gospel is applied, the mental traffic and congestion is cleared up and all thoughts of peace prevail. When 2Core 10:4 is on the job, the traffic report is clear and smooth sailing.
You can find 2 Cor 10:4 in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians and just before Galatians. 2 Cor 10:4, a spiritual weapon to fight and beat the mental traffic jam. Apply it today and be at peace in moments.
That's right. 2 Cor 10:4 is working for me right now. And it'll work for you. The quickest way to get rid of that pity party is just cast down those imaginations. Get involved with some people that know God, that love God, that serve God, and that won't back down in any way, shape, or form. And just absolutely cause yourself to get involved with the great things of heaven. You know, one of the reasons I think we get into trouble is because we feed on spiritual candy. You know, and we somehow or another, we think that that's the way the gospel is, you know, that it's just some kind of a movie. Yeah, and that it's just some gooey, sticky, taffy gospel. And there's just some kind of a man peddling candy to kids that melts in the sun of trouble. And you can't have, you can't live off of that. Yeah, it sounds good, and there's a lot of good promises, and it makes you feel good when you feel down. But the Candyman cannot. He says he can, but he can't do it. You don't need a candy gospel. No, it doesn't make the world taste good, because I'll tell you what, when trouble hits, and the blast of Satan's nostrils hits your mouth, it's your life, then you'll just begin to melt under the pressure, and you don't want to be that way. No, you don't want to do that. You want to know who you are. And that's the key to walking in God's love, is knowing who you are. And somebody said, do I love God? Well, I'll tell you what, when you start finding out who you are, that you're His, you belong to Him. And that ownership of God, the Bible said, know you not, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's where the love of God starts growing strong. When you know your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you know who you are. And Israel Houghton has written a song with this song in mind, with his words in mind, rather. I know who I am. I'm His. Come on, get excited about it.
Found me, I was blind. accepted. I know who I am. I am secure. I'm confident, yes, that I am loved. I know who I am. I am alive. I've been set free. I belong to you, Lord.
You belong to me.
Yeah, that's Israel Houghton, and I know who I am. Yeah, I am his. That is a powerful statement to make about your life, that you're his. And boy, I'll tell you what, when you get to a place in your life, and it doesn't take, it's not really that hard to get there. What's keeping us from getting there is just a bunch of pack of lies about, oh, your life should be like this, your life should be like that, and you got to look at the Joneses next door, and you got to look at the Smiths down the street, and you got to look at the Hootaboohootas, you know, four blocks away. And that's not what you belong looking at. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and developer of our faith. When you begin to look at him, you begin to say, you know what, Lord, your love is amazing. There's nothing like your love. Your love, as we said before, 1 Corinthians 13, your love bears all things. Your love believes. Somebody said, I don't know why I have such a hard time believing. You got to fall in love before you believe. Boy, you know, my wife and I, we've been together 33 years at the time of this recording, and there's some things we've faced that, my goodness, oh, Lord. I said, woo. You know, when I'm talking about that, I'm not talking about whether we love each other or not. No, I'm talking about the things we face about our future and having to hang in there and tough times or whatever and financial, and sometimes there'd been sickness we had to stand against. But you know what? Love came first. We looked in each other's eyes and we met and there was a chemistry from heaven that just locked us in together. And we said, that's the person. That's the one I've been waiting for. And she says, that's the one I've been waiting for. And we said, hey, you know, we just checked notes. And you know, we even prayed. I'll just share a little side note. We prayed. I said, why don't you pray? And then I'll pray and we'll compare notes. Because we talked about getting married and she said yes. And I said, well, why don't we pray about the date? And so this was around November of the year previous, and we got together for coffee one morning, and I just 21 years old, you know, but I said, you pray and I'll pray. And I said, what date did you get? She said, I got the 25th of March. And I said, well, she said, what did you get? And we wrote it down. So we weren't fooling each other. At the last weekend of March, that was the 25th. And I said, well, do we have to pray about the year? No, we did not pray about the year. But the point I'm making is that there was chemistry there. But see, love came before the trials and the tests that we had to face down the road when we had to believe God for a car. We had to believe God for money. We had to believe God for healing. We had to believe God for, you know, to have children. We had to believe God for this and believe God for that. Well, love came first. And we always go back to that first place of love and we say, yeah, we can do this. We got love. And see, love bears all things, believes all things, believes all things, believes all things, believes all. There's believing involved with faith. That's what I'm trying to get at. Faith worketh by love. If you don't have love, your faith isn't going to work. So we got to fall in love with God. And, you know, I've seen people,
You know, they want to love God, but they love so many other things, and they pet so many other things, and they cuddle so many other things, and they spend time around so many other things. And, you know, hey, if that's it, man, just throw your whole self into it. The Bible said, I would that you be hot or cold, the lukewarm I spew out of my mouth. It's not worth it. It's not worth all that effort. It's not worth all that stuff. And the people that God's put in your life, that's what's worth all the effort. And all the other things come out of that. And that's where life becomes to be so worthwhile and worth going to sleep, getting up for, because you're spending time redeeming the time on things that are worthwhile. Glory to God. You know, God's love is extravagant. He just pours it out. And let it just soak in your heart. His love is extravagant.
Your love is extravagant. Your friendship, fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. 'Cause your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin. No greater love have I ever known. You considered me a friend and captured my heart again. Your love is extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place. Your love is extravagant. Spread wide in the arms of Christ is the love that covers sin.
It's the third day, and that's your love is extravagant. And excuse me, casting crowns. That's casting crowns. And what a powerful song. You know, the scripture comes to mind when Jesus spoke in John 5:19. He said, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, For what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise. That's love. Isn't that love? You know, I used to go to work for my dad, and I watched him. And I wouldn't dare do anything that my father didn't ask me to do at his place. I didn't dare do that because that was like his kingdom. And I knew that I was being hired that day to do whatever he told me to do, whether it was sweeping the warehouse or putting something away or filing some papers. I can do nothing of myself but what I saw my father do. For the things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise. I remember when I became of age where, you know, it didn't matter as much what he thought. Still at his business, it was not like that, but in my own personal life, because I began to listen to other voices. But, you know, you step over that line, you get bit, you get hurt, and you realize love, you broke the law of love. That's what happened. That's what happened more than anything else. It wasn't that my dad was mean or my mom was mean and their rules were wrong. It was that I wanted my own way. And that way is not going to work. But when you begin to say, you know, I can do nothing of myself but what I see my Father do, my Heavenly Father, whatsoever things he does, these also do the Son. That was Jesus saying that. Jesus said, I'm not going to do anything by myself. I'm going to do what my Father asks me to do. And I'm going to do it his way. And I want to go where you go. I want to say what you say. I want to pray what you pray. Yeah, that's what we want to do. And so this song is by Kim Walker in the Jesus Culture. And it has that powerful sentiment that I'll go where you go, I'll go. Where you go, I'll go. What you pray, I'll pray. I want my life to reflect yours. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to walk in a greater sense of love. And the power of God's going to be on our life.
What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Jesus only did what he saw you do. I'm done for us. Though the world sees and soon forgets, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world sees and soon
Kim Walker. And that's a sold out song right there. That's a sold out life. Where you go, I'll go. What you pray, I pray. The world's going to forget. Were there not 10 lepers? Isn't that what the scriptures say? Were there not 10 lepers? And where's the other ones? Only one came back to give thanks. That's because the world forgets. The world's got something to do already. There's already something else to do. Man, especially with our culture today. You know, one video is hot for a day, and then here comes another video. And then one song is hot, and then there's a Facebook thing, and a Facebook thing, and a boom, boom, here comes another one, and here comes another one. And something else is always going on. And something's hot today, something's viral tomorrow, something's going on. Faithfulness. Lord, your faithfulness is great towards me. It's the power of God's love. That's life-changing. It's the love of the Lord. To love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. To be faithful to your church. To be faithful to your pastors. To be faithful to the leadership in your life. To be faithful to the things, your family, your wife, your spouse, your kids. To be faithful to those that God places in your life. Those are the things that matter. Where you go, I'll go, Jesus. Jesus didn't do anything he didn't see his Father do. And Jesus had the power, I mean, to do anything he wanted. He could have just turned around and created, you know, the most fantastic quartet ever sang in the world that would still rival anybody today and outsell every. But Jesus didn't come here to be a rock star. He came here to save us from ourselves. Man, when we've got that going on, that's amazing. Hey, we've started something called Team Edify. And we really would like you to be a part of it because, it's the simplest thing in the world. You don't have to, it's a team, yeah. And you can stay right where you are, doing right where, right. You know, we had some people that owns a sandwich shop. He signed up, put a button on himself. And so one of these buttons say, Edify for Life. And he put them on all the people in his sandwich shop. And they started wearing them. And just to be, somebody said, what's that about? Oh, it's just about edifying somebody. That's all it is. And so we want you to get involved and jump on board with us.
Hello, this is Ed Gutfeld, and I want to announce to you that there's a new team in town. It's Team Edify. We're running out the bullies of fear, doubt, and despair because Team Edify is taking over. This team is called to build up, strengthen, and cause to overcome. We're calling for 1 million men and women, boys and girls, to lock arms and declare the word of edification in our homes, schools, on the job, in the church, and throughout the marketplaces of the world.
We are a simple yet mighty team who have made a decision that each and every day we will receive edification for our lives, bring edification to those around us, and give edification away to someone new each and every day. As a team member, you will receive our unique and colorful Edify button, a lifetime membership card, daily prayer, and access to daily edification through videos, testimonies, and social network. To join the Edify revolution, simply log on to edifyforlife.org and follow the simple steps. We live in troubled times full of deception, lies, and depression. But we can make a difference bearing the glad tidings of edification. Again, the website is edifyforlife.org. Join in today. Be one in a million at edifyforlife.org. That's edifyforlife.org.
No, honey, I agree. We should be seeking eternal answers about life. But the question is where? I mean, no way am I going to some online do-it-yourself guru or some $600 a weekend, you're all God's crackpot. Isn't that right, little buddy? Yeah, I'm not looking for some hyped-up, frenzy-based super church either. Tell me where I can get some truthful answers with honesty and purity. I'll be there today. The whole family. And that means you too, little guy.
Yeah, talk to Jesus. He's been leading people into the truth and life for 2,000 years. It's his book, the Bible. It has all his simple truths that bring families together for a safe, simple, and secure eternal life. Talk to Jesus. He's the way.
Yeah, we're talking about loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Loving our neighbor as ourself, everything we've got. This is a song called All We Want Is You. It's by Ross Parsley. And the sentiment that we're bringing across is, God, this is all we want. We want to obey you. We just want you in our life. All we want, morning, noon, and night.
Oh, the generation whose God is the Lord. Our hearts are completely yours.
That's Ross Parsley, and All We Want Is You. And we thank God that we can have a life that has that kind of sentiment, that all we want is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, to be able to love our neighbor as ourself. It's something that just absolutely consumes our heart. And somebody says that, you know, if I could have that, well, you know, it belongs to everybody. You don't have to be kept from it another day in your life. The love of God reaches to the highest place. It reaches to the lowest place. You go down to the lowest pit, and there it is. You go to the highest mountain, there it is. God's love is everywhere, and we don't have to be without it at all. We don't have to be with it. It's as close as His name. It's as close as whispering His name. Because that's what it takes. That wonderful name of Jesus. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Whoever calls upon His name shall be saved. You can invite it into your life right now. This is the Deluge and the song called Whisper His Name. He'll come running to you. Oh, you better believe it. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment. You can have the greatest connection with heaven. That name above all names is Jesus. And you whisper His name, He'll come running to you.
Whisper His name. Whisper His name. Whisper His name. And He will answer you. Whisper His name. Whisper His name. Whisper His name, and He will come to you. Call out His name. Call out His name. Call out His name, and He will come to you. Call out His name. Call out His name. Call out His name, and He will come to you. Shout out His name. Call out His name, and He come to you. Yes, call out his name. Come on, call out his name. Call out his name, and he will come to you. Shout out his name.
We shout out his name. We whisper his name. He runs to us. What a great God. He doesn't have to do that. The Bible said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be healed, shall be delivered. What an awesome God we serve. What a beautiful God we serve. Hey, we've been talking about on two separate broadcasts, but they kind of run together. Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Loving our neighbor as ourself. You know, you can get in love with somebody so much you forget yourself. That's what marriage should be. You know, you love that other person so much that you'll die for them. That's what life should be. Jesus loved us so much, he gave his life. He actually died for us. You know, when you, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. And he calls us friends because we know what he's doing. He tells us. We are his sheep. We hear his voice. The voice of a stranger we do not follow. I just invite you, if these two podcasts, maybe you've just only heard one, but they are podcasts. You can just download them and listen to them over and over. Listen to them over and over. You know, there's some recordings I've listened to 100, 200 times, and I'm not exaggerating. I've listened to them because they touched my heart so much. They ministered to an area that I needed ministry, and it changed the way I thought about everything. And that's the way the love of God should be. So I'm just a word of wisdom to you. If it blesses you, if it's really ministered to you, just listen to it over and over and over. Tell 10, 15, 40, 25 friends. Say, hey, come on, you got to get on board and listen to It Is Time. We are endeavoring to just bring the Word of God to people in maybe a little bit different format maybe than we've been used to, but still, it's the Word of God, it's songs, it's some parody, some humor, but it is what it is, the Word of the living God that sets the captives free. Hey, my name's Ed Gutfeld. Glad you tuned us in. And till next time, just keep shouting the victory. You know why? Because it's time to keep shouting the victory. It's time to tell somebody. You gotta keep telling it. It's time to rise up and declare the greatness of our God. You know why? Because it's time. That's what it is. It's God's time. It's time to give him all of our attention and turn our eyes on him. And don't put anything off, please. As a word of wisdom, don't put anything off. Don't put anything off. Why? Why should I put anything off when it is time?